Hey everyone, and welcome back to the SysAdmin Show. This is the podcast that covers everything sysadmins do and the technology they work with. Today is episode number 5, and it's a lab day. We're going to be spending some time in the lab with VirtualBox. So let's get to it. All right, as I had mentioned in my last episode, I've been building up my kind of environment here, several of my computers that I have in the lab with Linux Mint, and I'm using, I think it's called 1904 Cinnamon, I believe, something similar, close to that, and it's actually what I'm recording this podcast on right now. It's working really well. I'm really enjoying it, and as nice as Linux is, it's not completely removing the need that I have for a few specific Windows applications. I'm a big user of Microsoft Office 365 and OneDrive. All of our family cell phones automatically upload all the photos we take to OneDrive, and I've been wanting to get those photos in a pretty automatic way onto this Linux computer so that I can sync them through. And I found a couple of tools. I played with a few things. There's like an R clone tool that I just wasn't having very much luck with. So I figured I'll just install a Windows VM, install OneDrive syncing app on there, and then copy those things locally to the drive through the kind of virtual, you know, network. So that brought me to looking for virtualization software, and I'd never really given any serious thought to VirtualBox before, but since I'm on an open source kind of free operating system, I figured, hey, why don't I take a look at VirtualBox, see how it goes, and get some experience there. So a lot of this has actually already happened, so I'll just kind of walk you through some of the steps. I went to Oracle's website, found a VirtualBox, kind of reviewed the licensing there. It is free, and it seems like there's an extra kind of plugin or tool set that you can add with it that changes the open source licensing a little bit. But for everything, for my purposes, I don't have to worry about any of that. So I got VirtualBox and grabbed a copy of Windows 7. Fortunately, from back in the day, I had a retail copy of Windows 7 kicking around, and put the and just made an ISO of it. So with my Windows 7 SP1 ISO, my Windows 7 key available, in VirtualBox, I was able to make my first VirtualBox VM here. So kind of when you launch VirtualBox, you end up getting I'm trying to find the main core here. All right. I'll just ignore whatever that error was. All right. And we're going to see how well this works. I'm obviously looking at my screen, kind of clicking through menus. I'm going to talk through anything that I think is relevant. My goal is that these will give you kind of the general guidelines to reproduce what I'm doing on your own, but not a step-by-step process. I mean, if you're looking for a step-by-step way to install Linux Mint, you can find that online already. If you're looking for a step-by-step way to work with VirtualBox, you can find that online already. So I'm really just going to give an overview. And then if you want to dig deeper and try these things, you can try to do it just based on what I say. If it's something that you need a little bit more information for, feel free to reach out to me. And I'd be happy to give you a little bit more direction if you're looking for it. But otherwise, a lot of this stuff is freely available on YouTube or a number of other websites. And really, those are the kind of skills that are going to help you in a sysadmin role. Or any kind of IT tech support role is being able to work with a little bit of information and kind of follow the thread, right, and not give up and just, you know, work your way through any kind of problem and just look up the information that you need. So let's see how it goes. All right. So when you open up Oracle VM VirtualBox Manager, right, you install VirtualBox, that's what you're given this manager. And you're going to want to click on New, and then it brings you through the steps of picking the OS that you want, right, giving a name to it, all that kind of stuff, and some various settings, right, how much RAM and CPU and provisioning a disk, right? So for my main Linux computer that I have here, is a fairly old machine. It's running an old AMD. I can't remember the name of my. I can't remember the name of the CPU type, but it's a 6-core AMD processor, and it has 16 gigs of RAM. So it's not too bad. The thing that's really giving it a speed boost is I have. It's actually, I believe, a Kingston, like a HyperX PCIe SD card. I have a picture of it here. I'm going to post that with the show notes on the website as well. HyperX, yeah, Kingston, 240 gig. So it's basically an M.2 SSD mounted on a PCIe, right? PCI Express card. Looks like it's a 4X to me. And that's just been inserted in one of the PCIX slots on the case. And I actually have a picture of the case to open here. It's very much of a patch job. I had an old server case kind of laying around that was pretty sturdy, and I made this retail motherboard fit in it, and it's pretty messy, but it did the trick. So I'll post these pictures up so you guys can get an idea of what I'm working with. But that's where I installed Linux Mint, right? I have this SSD drive. Now, my first round of working with VirtualBox, I'm like, okay, I want this to be on my SSD, at least for the OS, right? I'm installing Windows 7 just because that's what I had laying around. And I wanted to make sure that it was going to be high performing. I also have a 2 terabyte SATA drive in there that's going to be much slower. But that's where I'm going to store all those photos, right? The SSD isn't enough. I've got somewhere just over 500 gigs of photos and videos that I'm going to be working with. So I gave the VirtualBox 2 drives. I gave it an SSD drive with that, right? A smaller, like 60 gig drive that was on the SSD partition. And then I gave it about 800 gigs on the slower disk. And after I installed Windows, I found out that, unfortunately, OneDrive is limited, and I kind of remembered this as I was looking at the settings. OneDrive is limited. It can't install the OneDrive syncing folder to a non-root drive. It has to be on, it just doesn't give you an option of where to select that, as far as what I found. So went back to the drawing board, erased those disks, just recreated an 800 gig drive right on the 2 terabyte drive. It's going to be a little bit slower, but it's not going to be unusable by any means. And then reinstalled Windows there. And that pretty much brings us up to speed. I've now installed Windows. I've got my VirtualBox. It seems pretty peppy. Let's see. I don't even remember what specs I gave this thing. Let's see what this VirtualBox has. So it looks like it's got, oh, there it is, AMD Phenom. 2X6 1090T processor. So I gave it one core, 3.21 gigahertz. Looks like it's got 2 gigs running at 64-bit. And it's pretty snappy for just kind of browsing around Windows here. So I installed Firefox, and now I'm going to run out to the web, get OneDrive for Windows 7. Let's see if I can find that pretty quickly here. For whatever reason, it wasn't obvious where to find it last time. So what I'm going to do is pause until I get a couple more steps ahead, and then I'll be right back. All right, found OneDrive install. Wasn't too hard. That's installing right now. And I just want to take a minute to kind of talk about my kind of first impressions with VirtualBox. I'm very familiar now with Hyper-V and with VMware. I haven't really used VMware Workstation much. I used it 6 or more years ago, so I haven't used it recently. I would probably equate this to it's a VMware workstation kind of product, because it's not a hypervisor, right? I did not install this as the first thing on the system, right? This is an add-on. This is running on top of Linux OS that was already there. So not being a hypervisor, I guess it feels more like I'm using Hyper-V to me right now, because I actually have an OS I can use, but then inside there I have this little virtualized management product, and I can see a list of the different VMs that are available and kind of if they're running or offline. And it looks nice. It's, you know, it's got a clean layout. It's easy to follow. One thing I forgot to mention when I originally installed this, the virtual machine settings by default were going to, for storage, we're going to an SATA controller with ACHI, and Windows 7 being as old as it is, did not recognize that. I didn't want to mess around with getting specific drivers for that controller. I'm sure I could have found them. So I just deleted that, added a new controller for IDE, which is going to be much more backwards compatible. And installed my virtual disk on that. No problems. Windows 7 recognized it right away. And from the quick research I did, and from what I can tell just by using it, for my purposes, there's no appreciable performance difference. So it seems to be working great. So I was able to take an ISO and mount it as a virtual CD drive. And it's very easy, just kind of under the devices menu to click on optical drives and check and uncheck to mount and unmount a DVD drive or a CD. I haven't tried USB yet. The next thing I want to do while this OneDrive is installing is set up a shared folder. So my plan is to actually sync the files between the virtual server and the Linux server over the network, right? And these computers, the virtual computer is actually right through the virtual networking technology. They're actually connected. They should be on the same network and have access to the same resources. So in theory, I can click on sharing settings here. Let's see. I clicked on shared folders. And oh, this is interesting. So I had actually already set this up before I reinstalled Windows 7 in here. I had set up a machine folder called Photos, pointing to a directory on that 2 terabyte drive called Photos. And I made it auto mount, and I gave full access to the VM. And it looks like that did not disappear when I reinstalled the OS. So that must be a virtual box kind of persistent feature. So that's in place, and I haven't figured out how to access it yet, but we'll go from there. So at this point, I've got a login to OneDrive, start my photos syncing down, and then I will resume with finding out how to get the kind of the file share aspect working. And we'll be right back. All right. Back, and I believe I've got the file sharing working. After setting up the network, the shared folders, under devices, shared folder settings. Now when I kind of click on Windows 7, the network discovery area, I now find a server called VBoxSVR. So I'm guessing you could just go to / VBoxSVR. And then the name that I gave that the share that goes to a folder on the Linux drive is Photos. And so it's / Photos, right? / VBoxSVR / Photos. If you click on that, I see an empty folder, which I'm assuming is the directory on my Linux box. Let me open up that create a new text file, and there you go. It shows up in both Linux and Windows instantaneously. So I now have the ability to copy data back and forth by putting it on this directory. So I don't want to have to manually do this. So what I'm thinking is I'm going to get or use RoboSync or something similar. Let me see what comes with Windows 7. I'm so used to newer OSs that I'm not really sure. RoboCopy, that's what it's called, RoboCopy. Oh, it's built right in. Look at that. So RoboCopy comes with Windows. I'll probably just write a RoboCopy command for, I don't know if I want to mirror. Let's see, if I mirror it, then any changes I make on the Linux side would automatically sync back to the Windows side and sync back up to OneDrive. I think I may want to do that ultimately later on down the line, but right now I don't want changes I make on Linux to affect Windows, but I do want new stuff to come into Linux. So I believe I will just make it a one-way sync. So I'll get that command going and go from there. It was even easier than I thought with VirtualBox mapping the, I didn't notice it before, but it actually mapped that shared folder I set up and mapped it to a drive letter automatically. So it's just the E drive. So I was able to write a quick RoboCopy command for RoboCopy the source, right, being a path to my C drive where the pictures are syncing for OneDrive, and then the destination being just the E drive, the entire E drive, because that's the that maps to the photos folder on the 2 terabyte drive. And then I'm doing the /S command for subfolders, /E command for, what's that do? I can't remember. Including empty folders, because I have some template folders on there that have nothing in them, but there's like a bunch of nested folders that are laid out well. And we're doing the /R:0 so that it does, if it comes to a file and has an error, it doesn't try a million times. It it just fails, and then I'll go back and fix it manually if I need to. So with that, I was able to test just a few quickly made folders. Just, you know, I just made a bunch of new folders with a bunch of text files inside of them and verified that they're syncing over properly. If I add new folders on the source side, then I run the sync again, it copies them to the destination. If I add new folders in the destination, it just leaves them there. Syncing doesn't remove them, and they don't sync back, because at this point it's only a one-way sync. So I'd consider this to be a pretty successful use of VirtualBox as kind of a first go at it. Right now I've got a lot of waiting to do. I'm going to let this run overnight. I've got about 20 gigs downloaded of almost 500 gigs of photos. So I'm going to let them all sync down to the computer and then run my RoboCopy command to get them all on Linux and see how well that goes. But I'm definitely not finding any issues with running VirtualBox and running it on Linux. I mean, the keyboard input is a little bit catchy, right? It's definitely not as smooth as I'm used to with either Hyper-V or VMware. There was an option for, well, what do they call it? Guest Edition, right? So under Devices at the very bottom, there's a spot, so Insert Guest Edition CD Image. So I did that, and it installed some software. I'm guessing that is to help with things like mouse input and maybe some video drivers, but it didn't seem to make any real difference for me. It's actually still inserted. How do I eject it? Do I just right-click and eject? Or do I go to Devices? Right-click and eject, did it. Okay. And It didn't seem to make too much of a difference. So there is something I saw under input called mouse integration. Let me see what that's called, what that does. Input. Yeah. And to escape, I'm used to Control-Alt key combination to escape VMware. With VirtualBox, it's just... by default, it's the rightmost control key. So it's pretty straightforward. It seems like mouse integration just kind of captured the mouse so that it was stuck inside VirtualBox. And if I do that again, yeah. Either way, it seems like it's still, it works sometimes and not other times. It's just a little laggy, I guess, is the general feel I have for it. But it works okay. So for my purposes, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time inside Windows 7 on this. I'm kind of using it as a mini server OS. So I have no need for it to be a, kind of a good user experience inside Windows. Let's see, what else is there? Anything else worth looking at? Well, it looks like it supports snapshots, which is kind of cool. So if I wanted to install a piece of software on here, but I wasn't sure if it was going to break something, I could, let's click on take snapshot, snapshot one. And then I haven't tested that yet. I'm not going to test it now because taking a snapshot before downloading 500 gigs is just going to kill performance, but I'll probably test that feature out later. There's a full screen mode, a status bar, a bunch of USB settings. Let's click on USB settings. USB device filters. So let's see. I think I've got a USB stick here. I'm going to plug it into the host, my Linux machine, and see if I can easily get that to work on the Windows 7. I'm not sure how to get USB working, so I'll have to look more into that. All right, what else do I have here? It looks like I have audio. Let's see if audio works. It's not responding. Actually, the VM as a whole is not responding. Oh, I was stuck in the menu for modifying it. Oh, audio is passing through to my Linux machine, so that's kind of nice. If I needed that for some reason. So under network settings. Let's see, storage, I already played with that. Display. It's interesting, it has a spot just for video capture. I wonder if that means I could actually capture the VM kind of console right to a file. Enable video capture file path. But it's a WebM file, which I've not heard of before, is the name of the video file it wants to capture. But yeah, it looks like there is a capture feature right in there. Remote display. It looks like I can actually enable a remote display server. That'd be kind of interesting if I needed it. Under system, I can add more processors. I can actually put some limits on processing power so it can't consume the whole thing. I can up my memory. And to do all this, I'd have to actually power the VM off, which is pretty typical of these kinds of solutions. Even in VMware, where you don't have to, in a lot of situations, I still prefer to power off the virtual machine all the way before I do something like RAM or CPU. I've just never had a need for hot add in my environments. All right, so I'm not seeing anything out of the ordinary or anything else we haven't talked about. So yeah, VirtualBox seems very usable on Linux, and it's given me the kind of quick Windows application access that I need to sync some files over. And I'm not sure at this point, so coming up in a future episode, I am planning on rebuilding my core server, which I use for all my virtualization, kind of my bigger Microsoft virtualization buildouts, and that's going to be a VMware. I believe I'll do maybe I'll do 6.7. I run 6.5 in production, and I haven't played with 6.7 yet. I believe it's out. If it's compatible with my hardware, I might take a look at that. But my goal is to do the same thing as I kind of did here, and just kind of talk through the steps that I'm taking as I build that up. And if I run into any problems, I'll share them with you as I go, in case you guys run into the same problems. So look forward to doing that in a future episode. And as always, if you guys want to get in touch with me, I'm always looking for feedback or any questions. I mean, if you have any questions on this content, or just any general sysadmin questions and you want to run them by me, shoot me an email at dustin@sysadminshow.com. And look forward to our next episode. Talk to you later.